This is KCUR 89.3. In the years between World War II and John F. Kennedy's presidency, Kansas transformed its mental health system, turning what had been one of the nation's worst into one of the best. A new round of reforms rejuvenated the system in the early 1990s. But as Heartland Health Monitor's Jim McLean reports, the failure of successive governors and legislatures to fund those reforms is now threatening to reverse years of progress and could jeopardize the future of the state's largest mental health hospital.
Lots of factors are to blame for what many are calling a mental health crisis in Kansas, but certainly the state's failure to keep its funding promise to community mental health centers is one of those factors.
If we've got something here in Kansas that really makes a difference to the citizens, and we're putting it at jeopardy.
That's David Johnson, the CEO of the Burt Nash Community Mental Health Center in Lawrence. He says the big mental health reform bill that Kansas lawmakers passed in the early 1990s created a partnership between the state and community treatment centers. The goal was to plug gaps in what at the time was an uneven system so that people pretty much anywhere in the state could get the mental health care they needed without having to go to a state hospital.
It was clear that with the proper supports, people didn't need to be institutionalized. We know that they can live in the community. We know with the proper medication and proper treatment, people are able to be productive.
But the failure to fully fund the transition to community mental health centers created pressure on a state system that was being downsized. The closure in 1997 of the Topeka State Hospital left the state with only about a third of the psychiatric beds it had at the start of the decade. And the closure of several private psychiatric hospitals further increased the pressure on the state's two remaining hospitals, Osawatomie in particular. Since then, superintendents at Osawatomie have struggled to serve too many patients with too few staff. Steve Feinstein was in charge when the problems began.
Though we were short-staffed at some point, we had the luxury of having a culture that was alive and allowed us to carry on a tradition at the hospital that had been one of the best in the country for a very long time.
But the problems got steadily worse. Hospital workers who hadn't had raises in years were forced to work double shifts, often without notice. That's not only tough on morale, says former Osawatomie Superintendent Don Jordan. It affects workers' ability to provide quality care.
You know, when you put in several 16 hours per day days in the course of a week, when you go months and months without getting days off, it wears people out.
Federal inspectors were adding to the pressure. They repeatedly threatened to decertify the hospital unless staffing was increased and renovations made to improve safety and security. Then came the final straw. In the fall of 2015, a female worker was raped by a patient. Federal officials pulled the hospital's Medicare funding, and that's costing the state about $1 million a month still. Feinstein, who led the hospital in the late 1990s, says he wasn't surprised.
The state agency had been warned for better than a decade that we were moving into a position where we were way under-resourced at the state hospital, that we simply did not have enough staff, that there was a focus on managing the front door and the back door of the hospital just to maintain census. But the perspective of delivering clinical care somehow got lost in the process.
Suddenly, lawmakers were also paying attention. Representative Jim Ward, a Wichita Democrat, says it's hard to believe that a state that was once home to the famed Menninger Clinic had allowed its mental health system to fall into such disrepair.
And now for us to stand here with our state hospital being found to be systematic failure in providing basic services, that's shameful and it should be fixed.
Roy Menninger, a former president of the Menninger Foundation, witnessed the state's rise to mental health prominence and has tracked its fall from grace. And he says the current situation rivals the worst he's seen.
I won't say we're at the lowest point, because I'm sure we could go lower, but it's a grim situation.
Fixing damage decades in the making won't be easy, and many wonder whether it's even possible, with the state mired in what seems like a perpetual budget crisis. For Heartland Health Monitor, I'm Jim McLean.